killing of Bakasura. As Krishna enacted his human-like pastimes, he looked very attractive with a necklace hanging on his chest when he woke just before sunrise. After taking breakfast, Krishna met his playmates and prepared to leave for the day. Following the principles of Vaishya Dharma, Krishna and his powerful brother Balaram collected the calves and went out to the forest every day. They brought the thirsty calves to a reservoir of clear, cool water and left them on the banks to feed on the fresh sprouts and soft shoots of grass. At that time, Krishna, the beautiful, enchanting coward boy who performs wonderful pastimes and protects the whole creation, saw an unusual demon in the shape of a gigantic crane. Kamsa had sent this demon to kill Krishna. He was known as Bakasura, the demoniac brother of Putana. As a good tantric can see the future, Bakasura understood that Krishna fit the description of Kamsa's dreaded enemy. Bakasura immediately opened his ferocious beak in an attempt to swallow the Lord. His lower beak lay on the ground, and his upper beak pierced the heavenly planets. It seemed he intended to devour all the living entities on earth and in heaven. Krishna's friends felt great anxiety as they beheld that fearful monster. The playmates of Krishna said, "Oh brother, this creature cannot be a bird because he is about to swallow us all in his deadly mouth. Seeing its aggressive behavior, it must be a demon in the form of a huge crane, so we should quickly run from here. His body is taller than the peak of Mount Kailas. It will be very difficult for us to escape from his gaping mouth." To assure his dear friends of his protection, Krishna glanced at them with a delicate smile that captivated their minds and satisfied their hearts. Krishna, the undaunted one, who awards fearlessness to everyone in creation, smiled at the boys and moved near the demon. In a second, that dreadful crane swallowed Krishna. Seeing this seemingly irreversible calamity, Balaram and the boys exclaimed, "Alas, alas, what a disaster!" The demigods observing from the sky fell unconscious. As a camel spits out fresh mango leaves immediately after chewing them, or a man experiences a fiery feeling in his sinuses if he takes water up his nose. Similarly, that demon felt a burning sensation from swallowing Krishna and tried to spit him out. The demon suffered immense distress as Krishna simultaneously constricted and expanded his throat with a violent force, while rapidly flapping his wings in an attempt to eject Krishna from his throat. The demon felt his life airs rushing out of his heart. Krishna escaped from the mouth of the demon just as the moon slips out from the mouth of Rahu, or as the sun escapes from the grip of a dense monsoon cloud. Krishna appeared like a lion cub coming out from the mouth of a mountain cave, or a devotee attaining deliverance from the dark well of material existence. Surprisingly, Krishna's clothing and ornaments had not become the least bit sullied by passing through the saliva-filled throat of that demon. Looking fresh and beautiful, Krishna whispered some loving words to awaken his friends who had fallen unconscious on the banks of the Yamuna. Renewing his deadly attack, Bakasura tried to pinch Krishna and his beaks. Krishna grabbed the demon's beaks and split them in half just as easily as a child splits a blade of grass. Rivers of blood flowed in all directions. The two pieces of his dead body looked like twin mountain peaks lying on the ground. The denizens of the higher planets happily showered flowers from Nandakana, Indra's celestial gardens, upon Bakuri Krishna. Celebrating the victory, the Gandharva and Kinnara women danced and cried in jubilation. Their teardrops, which washed away their cudgel and fell through the sky, appeared like celestial honeybees dancing amidst the flowers falling from heaven. Dundubi drums resounded everywhere, proclaiming the triumph. Astonished by this wonderful pastime of Krishna, Vaivasvata Manu and many other sages offered prayers. Witnessing this transcendental feat, Krishna's playmates were immersed in divine joy. The boys felt that they had regained their lives upon seeing Krishna, the Lord of their hearts, walking confidently like a royal bull elephant. Being late afternoon, the coward boys collected their calves and returned to Vrindavan along with their charming friend. The soft, artistically shaped palms of Krishna's beautiful hands resembled Kadamba flowers. The coward boys raced to their homes to tell their parents all about Krishna's remarkable pastimes. Though tired and breathing heavily, they tried their best to explain Krishna's exploits. Due to exhaustion, their voices choked up, but their mispronounced words sounded very sweet and satisfying to their parents. The pleasure of hearing about Krishna's killing Bakasura quickly removed everyone's anxiety. The young Gopa said, "Mother, listen to the amazing adventure we had today. You will be surprised to hear how Krishna showed his incredible strength. With our own eyes, we saw him easily vanquish a formidable demon. Driven by false ego, Bakasura tried to kill us. His extremely sharp beaks felt as hot as fire. But just using his bare hands, which are softer and cooler than lotus flowers, Krishna broke that demon's beaks as easily as a child splits a blade of varana grass. By killing that demon, Krishna finished all the devious acts of that demon." The sweet talks of the coward boys filled their mother's ears with nectar. At first, Mother Yashoda felt afraid upon hearing that the demon tried to swallow the boys. As she heard more about her son's expertise in killing that awesome demon, Yashoda and the other mothers felt slightly relieved and smiled mildly. Yashoda thought to herself, "Alas, even though I left Mahavan to escape the harassment of demons, they are still attacking my son. My son is very bold and restless. But what can I do and where can I go? By destiny I am confused and cannot understand the plan of providence." After bathing and feeding Krishna his evening meal, Yashoda, the abode of maternal affection, said, "From now on, just stay home. Please do not go out to the forest. We have so many men to do this work, so now you can stop tending the calves. You need not take so much trouble for this." Krishna replied, "But Mother, actually all these stories about my heroic exploits are just lies. Do not worry about all these things." Overflowing with love, Yashoda laid Krishna down to rest on a valuable bedstead. Krishna's eternal form is that of a 15-year-old youth. However, his Kumara and Pagonda Leela's childhood and boy pastimes also eternally remain within his body. According to his sweet will, Krishna manifests one particular pastime form or another. Krishna displays these different pastime periods to fulfill the desires of his devotees, who themselves are wish-fulfilling creepers. Although the stages of his childhood, boyhood, and youthful pastimes differ in nature, they do not conflict with each other. Krishna, the embodiment of transcendental bliss, maintains his eternal Kaishora Rupa form of youth within himself. His pastimes, therefore, do not undergo any transformation. In order to nourish his Balyalila, childhood pastimes, Krishna conceals his six opulences and his form of eternal youth by his own sweet will. This is the explanation of Krishna's pastimes. Although Krishna showed his manifold opulences when he killed Putana, Trinavarta, and other demons, he quickly hid these powers in order to preserve the sweet mellow of Vatsalya Ras, parental love. Therefore, the influence of Krishna's divine majestic powers, Aishwarya, remain in the background so that he can relish the sweet flavor, Madhurya, of his Vrindavan pastimes with his intimate loving servants. Within Krishna's transcendental body of eternity, knowledge, and bliss, the various mellows of parental affection, friendship, and paramour love reach perfection. Why does Krishna perform these pastimes? To favor his devotees who are fixed in the moods of Vatsalya, Sakya, and Madhurya Bhavas, Krishna allows himself to come completely under their control. The various pastime periods of Krishna are eternal and beyond judgment and argumentation. At this time, Krishna accepted the flute as his dearest musical instrument. He astonished the people of Vrindavan with the incredible artistry and expertise of his flute playing. Commenting on this, the Brajavasi housewives said, "O dear Krishna, your lips that previously tasted only your mother's breast milk Now relish the soft notes of your flute. Which guru has taught you to play so sweetly? Oh, darling Krishna, if you play your melodious flute again, I will adorn your face with tilak. In response, Krishna played exquisitely on his flute to please the hearts of all. Krishna's magnificent dark body glistens like a tamal tree. With his bright yellow dhoti, he looks like a wild elephant cub covered with saffron. A garland of fragrant wildflowers swings over Krishna's ankles while he roams and sports from forest to forest just like a baby elephant. Every day, Brahma, Shiva, Indra, and other demigods descend to Vrindavan to have darshan of Sri Krishna.